These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelker and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
David, the clincher in Houston obviously was a big day for the Red Sox, but also a big day for you personally. You've mentioned some of the narratives that you've been responsible for. Have the days since then seemed a little bit lighter for you? Different at all? Do you feel a little relieved? Do you feel better? How would you describe it?
I guess lighter is a good word. Yeah, you know, yesterday we had media day. I didn't have to. I got to look forward to it for the first time in a long time. Today, you know, it's definitely a weight lifted off of me for sure. Not like food tastes better or anything like that, but it was time, and you know, I'm definitely glad that the time came and we moved past it, and you know, I look forward to doing the same thing tomorrow.
All right, that was David Price yesterday heading into tonight's start, World Series Game 2. I loved his answer. I love the honesty there and sort of he's not fighting it anymore. He's not defensive anymore. You know, he could easily still be taking the tact of, I've won in the postseason, they just haven't been starts. And I've pitched well in the postseason, I just wasn't lucky enough to get the win. So I didn't feel like I had anything to prove. You know, he could easily, would it surprise you if he was stubborn about it?
No, of course not.
And that if he were stubborn about it, it would, to me, be a troubling sign. Like, you don't even think anything was wrong, pal. Like, well, that's not. So, I just like his whole, the way he carries himself on that question now. I think it's just such a good sign. It feels like he's in a good place. And so that's just a little thing that has me encouraged for him tonight, if I'm a Red Sox fan on the other side. It is the weather. He's not good with the cold, and he has the rain odds or whatever, the carpal tunnel, rain odds, Fortnite-itis, whatever he's got. It's
all of the above,
right? Yeah. Like there's an issue there with the cold, and tonight's going to be worse than last night.
Yeah, no, listen, to me, it's one of the things that concerns me about this game is Price's ability to handle that, because, you know, he's not a guy that's throwing 96 all the time anymore. He pitches at 92. Last game was good. The velocity was better, but conditions were good. Ideal. You're indoors. He had good life on the fastball, but he also had an awesome changeup in that game, and that's a field pitch. So do you lose some of that on a night like tonight, I wonder?
So to me, on the Dodgers side, I feel like this is almost a must-win for them. I really do. The Red Sox have played too well on the road for the Dodgers to expect for them to hold serve at home and go 3-0 at home. You're not going to sweep the Sox there. At most, at best, to me, the Dodgers' path here is to split here, win 2 or 3 back in L.A., and now you're up 3-2 coming back here, and you hope you walk into 1 here. And that's it.
Basically how they beat the Brewers.
I mean, that's because they're not going to sweep the Red Sox in L.A. The Red Sox are too good on the road. They're playing too well. I just don't see that. So you got to steal one here, and you got to hope you win your 2 out of 3 there. That Kershaw reverts to the good Kershaw back at home, and that Buehler's lights out, and, you know, some sort of combination thereof. If I'm the Dodgers, though, Ryu, this is the one guy on their staff that scares me. For some reason, I have confidence in Hill, and I think this Buehler kid has tremendous stuff, tremendous. Ryu has been the one that's looked vulnerable to me, more vulnerable than most. So that's a guy that's going tonight with them trying to avoid going down 0-2.
And he's pitched poorly on the road.
Has he?
Yeah. I mean, relatively, right? At home, he's been lights out. I mean, he was phenomenal. During the regular season, I think he finished with an ERA under 2. But in overall, the splits on the road versus home were, his ERA was in the 3s on the road, high 3s. And again, that's National League, so you tack on another, a third of a run, basically, for American League competition. And again, you're talking about, cold environment, crowd right on top of you. This is not, and this is different than any place he's ever really pitched in. And forgive me if Murray already mentioned this. You've seen the lineup?
I've not.
Okay, so essentially the Red Sox are going with the same lineup they went last night. You have a different catcher in there in Vasquez. But otherwise, Devers is starting at third base.
Devers is facing the lefty.
Yep, Devers is still in there. Kinsler's at second base, and you pretty much get the same group out there.
Yeah, Bradley's up batting eighth instead of ninth. That's
yeah. Right. And Vasquez is the number 9 hitter. So Cora feels like it's essentially going with the same plan, and we looked up some of those numbers on Ryu earlier, and Ryu has reverse splits. I mean, lefties hit better against him than righties, so it does sort of play to what Cora wants to do there with Devers and Nunez at third base.
Why not Holt over Kinsler?
Good question. Yeah, good question. Maybe that's just to me, honestly, I think part of what Cora is doing there He wants to have a left and a right bat off the bench late in the game. He wants one of each.
Well, you could do that with Kinsler.
Well, so you'd have...
Oh, no, no, no.
Right, you'd
no,
have
no,
him
you're
and
right, you're right, you're right. I'm sorry.
So I think he wants one of each.
Right.
And so he figures his best pinch hitters are Nunez and Holt. Holt certainly has been good off the bench.
Got it. Okay.
So, against the Dodgers, it's not a bad way to go with the way they can mix and match.
Okay, to your thoughts, as promised. Sandy in North Andover. Hi, Sandy.
Hello, how are you?
Good, Sandy.
I just wanted to know if you guys, how stupid you feel about Price and Sales when you were saying about them not pitching. And I know you have to keep the show going and have some kind of controversy on there, otherwise you wouldn't be on TV. But do you guys feel really stupid for saying that?
Well, I don't remember specifically what I should feel stupid about.
Sandy, no more stupid than I usually do.
Yes, I'd say standard.
Uh-huh. You should feel stupid, though, but that's okay. Everybody feels stupid sometimes.
Okay, so Sale, I don't know. How am I supposed to feel about Sale?
I think you're vindicated on Sale. I think we all are. Sale, to me, has not come close to being the kind of guy that he's been in the past, and I think Sale would be the first one to tell you that. Now, look, he's given them 4 innings to start, but, I don't...
That's what it's going to be, right? I mean, 4 innings, 90 pitches, that's it. That's all you're going to get out of them. And it's
totally.
Just, yeah, you get one really good inning out of them, and then whatever they might have them on wears off, and the velocity goes down, and the control's not what it was in that first inning.
To borrow a phrase from a famous narrator, it is what it is.
And I hope Price duplicates what he did the last game. I mean, I felt Price was due for a breakthrough. I don't know. You've been listening this fall, but I felt Price was due. I just couldn't pick the game. But I felt he was going to break through this year, and hopefully he backs it up. If he doesn't, if he has another one of these nights, like an old-school David Price night where it's cold and he's flexing and he's schwitzing and he's... Well, then, I don't know what's been proven. Then we're sort of back to square one. We did a little bit of football earlier. Oka is sitting in Lawrence. He's been waiting for an hour. I don't want to keep him on the phone for 2 hours. So quickly, give me your patch thought. Quickly, Oka.
Hey, thanks a lot, man. First of all, they should be going after Dwayne Buchanan. Shout out to Paul Perilla. Kind of stole my thunder on that comment. He's definitely what the Patriots need from the first and second level. On the defensive side, and then lastly, John Lackey kind of reminds.
Okay, I'm just going to stop there because you had a football take, and that's it. He wants the front seven player versus the defensive back. I don't think Pat Peterson is a consideration because he makes money. It's a money thing. It's not a cap thing, which they can figure out. It's a money thing. He's worth millions of dollars this year, and then like $14 million next year, and some of it's guaranteed, and his base salary this year is guaranteed, is what I mean to say. I don't know what the guarantees are next year. But
it's all moot anyway. He's put out an official press release saying, like, I'm staying with the team. I'm not doing it anymore.
But a front seven guy, I mean, they absolutely need more talent on defense. So, frankly, I'll take it anywhere. I don't care where it is. I don't care what level it is. They need something back there.
I mean, if you could get me a linebacker that could cover, I would say that might be the number one need on defense.
Steven Billerica, what do you got for us?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? The whole show's been about the Dodgers and how the excuses of why they lost. It's here, it's why they how they should win. How about Kimbrel? What about Kimbrel? What about the Sox bats?
Tell me about Kimbrel. How do you feel about him and how he threw?
So I thought Kimbrel's outing was his best one. I mean, I thought people made too much of how Kimbrel pitched at the end of the Astros series. I still thought he was a little shaky in that outing. This one was a lot better, but I also think they give him a nice little cushion there. But with that 3-run homer by Nunez, now it's an 8-4 game. Am I as confident in Kimbrel? If it's a 5-4 game, nope. And beyond that, if he gets back on the mound tonight in a 1-run game, am I worried? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I just think that Kimbrel is who he is. So he's going to have times where he's a little more locked in. Maybe he's turning a corner. Great. But I still think the pressure gets to him out there.
And your offense is self-evident. Awesome. It's relentless. We have talked about it. It's just, it's not just opportunistic. It's just, it doesn't stop. So if you as an opponent let up in any way, shape, or form, commit an error, get lazy, holding runners on, make a bad pitch, the Red Sox capitalize. Just, it feels like every time. So it's, maybe the Dodgers weren't slow to come out, maybe they were just normal, but you've got to meet the Red Sox level, because they're going to take advantage of everything that you do wrong, and the Dodgers have to be prepared for that.
So what they don't, I think what the Red Sox don't get enough credit for is their athleticism. And this goes back to the Houston series.
So the base running, does it make you reappreciate and reassess your feeling about speed and base running and base stealing and that sort of thing?
So, again, I like speed. I think the steals themselves are overrated. I love the first to third stuff as long as you're doing it at the right times and not making stupid mistakes. And, again, the athleticism also plays out on defense. We saw that in the Houston series. So this Red Sox team is really athletic. I mean, one of the most athletic Red Sox teams I can ever remember, particularly in the outfield. They're really, really athletic out there.
Anthony and Medford, go.
What's up, guys? Mike, they're definitely going by script, not by the eye test. Because, like you said, Robert should have definitely kept Bayers, and he was throwing beams, like you guys said. And Joe Kelly, he could have got an extra inning on him. And everybody,
Did you hear what he's saying?
Not really. No.
I'm sorry, Anthony.
No.
We can't hear you. Between the big balls on Lacquered Lanes right behind us here at Lucky Strike, and everything else, I just can't hear you. But the thing about Baez and Roberts and not using his eyeballs is so true. It's so true, Billy. Cue up that cut from Scott Van Pelt last night, if you will. And that is, you know you suck. When do you know that you suck as a manager? When do you know that you suck? When do you know that you've made the wrong call? You know you've made the wrong call when John Farrell says it was the wrong call. This is Farrell last night on ESPN.
You're feeling like, let's just ride with Baez at that point?
I think sometimes what happens, Scott, is that the matchup and what the numbers may tell you, left on left in Devers' case, overrides what the gut feeling, what your eyes are showing you in Baez on the mound.
Mm-hmm.
Left-hander Moreland, he strikes out, and the right-hander following him, Bogarts, he strikes out on high fastball. So here's a right-handed power reliever that's getting lefties and righties, but yet he goes to the left-on-left matchup and gets beat.
The book tells you this. The math tells you this. Do you listen to that, or do you listen to your gut in that situation?
Well, I think the forecasting or the pregame prep took all this into account.
Right.
But then as it's unfolding, that's got to take precedent to a certain extent. And, again, you're talking about one of the better relievers in his bullpen in Baez that he removes from the ballgame even after just 10 pitches thrown.
Got to tell you. When John Farrell's calling you out, that's when it's time to check yourself at the door.
Oh, no, that's the lowest of the low.
Rock bottom?
Yeah, it's like almost time to retire when that happens.
We continue with your thoughts. Rob Manfred, later on in the hour, your phones, next.
Felger and Maz are live on Lansdowne at Lucky Strike for the World Series. Presented by Budweiser on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I really want to win the World Series. I think that's no different than the other 50 guys in both locker rooms. Yeah, there's no secret that we want to win.
It's what we signed up for. This is what we prepared for all year. Chance to win a championship.
A lot of people are proud of what supposedly I'm doing. I'm proud of the group. You know, this is a group that they have high expectations. And the goal is to win the World Series.
Right side. To the plate on an RBI base hit by Martinez. It's 2-0.
Fly ball, left field, back at the wall and into the Monsters. A home run. Matt Kemp with a home run. And a ground ball base hit into left field. Turner rounding third. He's on his way home and he will score on the RBI single by Manny Machado.
Slide into center field. Running around third is Pierce. Red Sox regain the lead. It's 3-2.
And a swing and a ground ball to short. Machado to second, one. On to first. Not in time. Bogarts beats it out.
That is a ground ball base hit by Devers. Benintendi scores. And it's 5-3 Red Sox in the fifth. A swing and a miss. Back-to-back strikeouts for Kelly. Bellin has one into Shella Center. Bradley is there and has it to end the inning.
He has a good bad ball hitter off the left-handers.
That is hammered in the left. It is gone. Pitch hit three-run home run. Nunez. Red Sox win game one.
Today was a whole team effort. That was cool to see. A lot of guys that they struggled towards the end of the season and they did an outstanding job tonight. That was a very team-oriented win.
How about put together all the production today? Maz has a couple thoughts here that we have not gotten to today. One is, he tells me the Red Sox are getting credit for something that they don't deserve. This sounds like a good Felger and Maz take. Let's think Murray. Do you know what the answer is? Do you know what he's thinking about?
The Red Sox are getting credit for something.
So the answer is no. So let's just try and think about it. They're You don't know what he's talking about.
I'm surprised this hasn't come up yet today that a caller hasn't brought this
the
up.
The Red Sox are getting credit for something yesterday they don't deserve.
I don't know.
What is it, Maz?
Running down the first baseline. And because in the third inning last night, Steve Pierce.
They beat out a couple double plays.
Right. That ultimately got them runs. In the case of Pierce, they got J.D. Martinez up. He, you know, they reviewed it. But he got down the line. J.D. Martinez ends up hitting the ball to the base of the wall. And there you go. That gets him another run. The Bogarts play also scored them a run. And then Devers followed with a hit that would have been an inning double play, right? So they got a couple of runs by humping it down the line. So I hear people say, yeah, man, they hustle. Okay. It's the World Series. If you hustle in June against Kansas City, I'll give you some credit for it. Okay? Great. You know, because most teams dog it during the course of the year. At least to some degree, they give you 85%. But in the World Series, are we really going to give a guy credit for busting his ass down the line to try to beat our double play?
Apparently, we're not.
I just think that that one's overrated. I'm sorry. I think that that one is overrated. And so to me, I look at that one and say, all right, come on. Now, at some point, it just most everybody's going to run down the line hard in the World Series. So let's not go crazy with that one. Bogarts has always gotten down the line pretty well. And Pierce, to his credit, isn't fast but gave it his full effort. Fine. We'd be killing them if they dogged it. So, like, that one to me is just, that's a standard play. You run, you make them turn to double play, and I didn't think that either one was necessarily a double play ball. And as we're talking about this, it occurred to me the other defensive mistake that the Dodgers made last night, and that was the center fielder who let the ball hit the bottom of the wall. Hernandez out there instead
He could have caught that?
So, probably not.
Off J.D. Martinez?
Yes. Probably not, but I also think that not knowing the ballpark hurt him. And that he assumed that ball was going to hit high up on the wall, and it didn't. And I don't know if he runs. And again, I don't know what the broadcaster said at the time.
That was 415 feet.
I agree.
I mean, he wasn't going to get that.
Yeah, I agree that he probably isn't going to get there either way. But I also think he misread it. And I think that any chance he had expired when he decided he was going to play it off the wall and the ball hit at the very, very bottom. Maybe that's the one the caller was talking about.
Okay, a few phones here before we hit Murray's update. Jeff and Bill Ricka. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Real quick, I saw the Red Sox are starting 6 homegrown guys tonight in Game 2. And quick two-parter. First, do you ever remember the Sox starting this many homegrown guys in a World Series before? And second, what are your thoughts on them starting 6 guys tonight?
Okay, so my guess is 75.
Yes, absolutely. That's the first one that popped into my head. I mean, they had homegrown guys all over the place on that team. You know, really, they were stacked. With homegrown guys. Okay. Fisk, Rice, Lynn, like go through all of them.
By the time you got to 86?
I mean, mix.
I mean, I can't imagine that 04 and 07 or 13 had near 13 was all freaking vagabond. Not all, but you know what I mean.
Many.
You know. So 75. So I don't know what that means. I mean, I think that's the way you want to build it. I think that's a good thing. It's a good sign. But does it really matter? I mean, do you really care how you get here? Tom in sitting in traffic. Hi, Tom in traffic. What do you got?
All right. Yesterday, you said that Jackie Bradley's grand slam was meaningless. Woo! Doesn't
no,
mean anything.
No. No. Jones said it was an empty net goal. I don't think it was meaningless.
Okay, because I was going to say we can't say that, and then say how much how important Nunez's was yesterday, because it's equally the same. Jackie does that; he breaks their back. Yeah, we had the lead, but it's important. Same thing with Nunez. Equal.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, that was Jones who said. Jackie Bradley, someone was an empty net goal because he's got this big thing going with Jackie Bradley. I said at the time that it won you the series. I thought the Jackie Bradley grand slam was the body blow that basically knocked Houston to their knees and they never got back. They brought in their closer to get that out, and you hit a grand slam. I thought that was it. I thought that was the series. I said at the time that was the championship. So I never downplayed that hit. That was massive.
Was that game three?
That was game three?
Yeah.
It was game three?
Yeah, right. Then that turned it from 4-2 to 8-2.
So this isn't quite, I don't think that rises quite to that level in terms of, like, I don't think it's a series swinging, momentum swinging kind of thing. I think that Jackie Bradley grand slam was like a, you know, again, they brought in their closer to keep it a one-run game or two-run game, whatever it was. And it's a grand slam. I don't know. I thought that one left a mark. We'll see what last night says.
You mean Alex Wood doesn't scare you?
Dante in midfield. Hi, Dante.
Hey, guys. Now, I got to toe a line here because at this point it looks like Cora could pinch hit a kid from Brookline High, and as long as righty-lefty, he'll hit all month. But, I mean, I look at the lineup last night, and no Muncy, no Bellinger. And I got a question if, you know, this righty-lefty stuff has gone way too far. I think it's inexcusable to have two of your best players not in the lineup, regardless of who's throwing.
Okay.
And
Dante, I'll just stop right there. Good line. The core could put a sophomore from Brookline High in there. As long as it was a left-right matchup, it would come through. I mean, that's the way it feels it's going, and you feel the matchups are just going way too far.
I just think the managers are overmanaging in general, and I hate the trend that the game has gone in. And this is not a rip on Cora before someone gets their panties in a bunch. And maybe it's a little bit of a rip on Roberts because I think he's worse. But the only way I can say it is I don't turn on the game or show up at the ballpark to see a manager manage. I don't. And I think these guys are taking it a little too far. They're controlling the game too much. And so, ultimately, Pedro Baez is really the perfect example. You've got a right-hander on the mound that holds a left-handed batters to a 164 average, blows people away, and the manager takes him out to bring in Alex Wood. Like, I don't get that. I don't get that.
That's baseball for you in 2018. Quick update for Murray, and then we talk to the commissioner, Rob Manfred, live here on Felger and Mazz. That's next.
Felger and Mazz are live on Lansdowne at Lucky Strike for the World Series. Presented by Budweiser on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
But, I mean, the Dodger game that day went 5 hours and 5 minutes. I know it was 13 innings, but, geez, the Red Sox game that day, 4 hours and 33 minutes. 4 hours and 33 minutes for a ball game that was five. I mean, geez, you can fly to the West Coast in that time. You can go to Europe. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, and then they wonder why my 16-year-old didn't see it, and he grows up an NBA fan, and they wonder. They say, "Well, hold on now, why my little Colin Russo says that who won? He doesn't know anything about it. He's not staying up at 2 o'clock in the morning. And why not a day game once in a while? Oh. Can't have a day game in the World Series."
Okay, so that's Chris Mad Dog Russo on with Felger and Mazz the other day. He says you can fly to Europe during some of these games. To discuss this issue and some others is the Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred, joining us now here on Felger and Mazz. Commissioner, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Hi, Rob.
Happy to be on with you.
Okay, and I'm sorry we got to start with some unpleasantness, I guess, but it is, I think, the biggest issue that's on our fans' minds next to the championship, and that is the length of these games, the pace of play in these games, the time that they end at. I think everyone feels that it's unacceptable, except for maybe the players. Everyone hates it. So the question to you is, what's baseball going to do about it?
Well, let's start by talking about your question for just a moment. I mean, the time that games finish is really mostly an East Coast issue. You know, I live on the East Coast. You live on the East Coast. We all forget that there are people on the West Coast, including the fans of teams like the Los Angeles Dodgers, where that's an 11 o'clock finish for them, even if it finishes at 2 a.m. Every once in a while, particularly when we have multiple games, we do schedule to accommodate our fans on the West Coast. With respect to pace of play more generally, nobody's been bigger on this issue than I have. I think it is an important issue for the game. We study the trends. We pay attention to what's happening on the field. We'll evaluate those trends after the postseason is over and decide what we're going to do for next year. I do think that with respect to the postseason, you have to accept as a reality on a stage as big as the World Series, the games are going to run a little bit longer. The more important point for me is we've had great competition, really great young stars out there, and really compelling games.
So, Rob, to me, the thing is that in the postseason, it matters even more because we have to watch these games. We want to watch these games. In the regular season, 162 games, you know, baseball, one of the beauties of the sport is you can sort of take it or leave it or check in and check out and whatnot. But then you get in the postseason, and you actually want to watch every pitch. And I feel the pace of play and all this stuff, you feel it more now. And it's more important now because you have more eyeballs on your sport than you have at any point in time. And there's got to be people who get out of last night's game and say, 4 hours, it wasn't even extra innings, and I got to do this six more times? Like, I feel the stakes are even higher right now.
Look, I think that it is human nature. And, you know, it is a game that's played by humans. That's why it's so compelling, that when the stakes are higher, things are going to slow down a little bit. I think that is the countervailing consideration. And again, my view on this in the postseason is we've provided great entertainment. Do I wish it was a little shorter? Will we talk about it during the offseason? Yes, we will. But, you know, I'm not going to change the rules between that, you know, games one and two to speed them up. There's only so much we can do at this point.
Yes. And I'm sorry, Rob, obviously, you know, changing them in series is one thing, but you do understand the point. Like, let's use the Red Sox Astros game four as an example. That in the final hour of that game, and it was a crazy game with all kinds of great stuff in it that fans loved, that everybody loved. But the audience in the final hour of that game was lower than it was, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours before them. And it just feels like people are missing the best parts. The question is there a happy medium in there somewhere where, sure, you can let the postseason games go a little bit, but not too far?
Yeah, look, I'm not advocating that, you know, long games are necessarily a good thing. I'm trying to put the length of the games in some perspective. Recognizing that there's a lot at stake, that players are going to slow down. Having said that, I do recognize it's incumbent upon us to try to do everything we can, both regular season and postseason, to move the games along without altering the fundamentals of what we regard to be the greatest game in the world.
And Rob, I'm sorry to keep pounding you with this, but it's a huge topic. When we talk baseball, Rob, I mean, just so you know this, we could do as much, if not more, on this topic than the actual game itself. In other words, fans are more interested in adjudicating this thing and figuring this thing out than they are who won the game or as many. I mean, it's that important.
So I have to really, honestly, I think I've been more than patient on this topic. And I have to tell you, I really disagree with what you just said. I understand that people are interested in having a product that is as crisp as possible, that moves along, that isn't, you know, 4 hours in length. Having said that, I don't believe that people are more interested in the length of the game than who wins or loses the game. I think you pushed that one a little too far.
No. Of course, you know, they'd rather the
Red Sox win.
That's
what you just said.
But but let me tell you what I meant, Rob. You know what I meant, and that is, as a topic on a talk show, they're as interested in you speeding up the game as they are in the results of the game. Of course, they'd rather the Red Sox win an 8-hour game than lose a 2-hour game. Of course, that's not what I meant. You know it. It's about what a baseball fan is interested in, and that is just the pace of this game. So
one of the great things about talk radio is you get your most passionate fans out there, and I think one of the great things about our game is that our fans are super passionate, and they have very strong opinions about what should be done with respect to the game. I think when we think about making changes to the game, which I've already said is an agenda item for us in the off season, we have to take those same passions into account, because the same person that calls you up on your talk show and talks about the game being too long would be the same guy who would call up and complain if we made too many rule changes to the game. That's the beauty of the sport. People love it so much. They're passionate about everything that we do.
All right, so just let me ask you one more specific, and we won't beat you over the head with it, but that is the pitch clock. And from what I understand, you have the ability now to unilaterally implement the pitch clock. Are you going to do it next year?
We're going to have a conversation with the owners at our meeting in November about the pitch clock. You are right that we have the right to implement that clock unilaterally, and it will be at the top of our agenda in November.
Do you think we will have a pitch clock next season?
Look, I that's going to be a product of the conversation that we had with the owners, and it's really not appropriate for me to speculate on, you know, what the answer to that is. I will tell you this. I have been a fan of the clock. I think it's done a nice job for us in the minor leagues in terms of moving it along. And I do think we're probably going the wrong – I know that we're probably going a little bit the wrong direction in terms of the amount of time in between pitches.
All right, Rob Manfred, Commissioner of Baseball, join us here on Felger and Maz. It tied into this, Rob, is a lot of people then take that pace of game to say that the game is dying, the game is suffering, blah, blah, blah. And obviously it's not, and you have data that supports it, and you know, you've seen things at the youth level and other levels that show you that the game is not dying. In fact, it's just the opposite. What, you know, what do you know about that?
Well, look, our, you know, we have, there's two things that kind of drive fandom among young people, and one is going to the ballpark at a young age. I think our clubs have done a phenomenal job locally with getting families, keeping our product a family affordable product so that parents can take their kids to the ball game. But even more important is getting kids to play the game. The only major sport that's grown in youth participation over the last 3 years, every single year, is baseball. And we have made a huge investment under the banner of Play Ball, and we've seen great results as a result of that investment. So we're really positive about the future of our game.
And is this something, have you seen consistent growth there year to year, Rob? In other words,
every single year we have been the fastest growing sport each of the last 3 years.
So when you hear people saying, you hear it all the time, kids are playing lacrosse because there's more action and they can run around, you know, that it's hard to get a kid nowadays to sit in left field and wait for a fly ball to come out. I mean, you know, you hear all these things.
Yeah.
I don't think that exists.
People do say things that really are not supported by the facts. Baseball remains the most played sport by kids under the age of 12. People never say that. The fact of the matter is baseball's grown faster than lacrosse. It's grown faster than soccer each of the last 3 years.
Rob, one of the things in baseball that I think always gets a little overrated is the whole idea of competitive balance, that you know, it's necessary, it's mandatory. So you look at this World Series, you've got two teams, basically, let's call it $500 million in player salaries and payroll, and yet I would argue that everybody in America would rather see, or the Red Sox and the Dodgers, if anyone's interested in baseball, Red Sox and Dodgers versus, you know, Astros and Brewers. True or not true?
Well, look, I think that we have a compelling matchup. You know, two large markets, the East Coast, West Coast thing, the fact that we haven't had a Dodgers, Red Sox World Series in 102 years, that's good for the game. Absolutely 100% good for the game. But I would tell you, I think it's equally good for the game for people in all of our 30 markets to believe that their teams that they're devoted to have an opportunity to win. That's why I think Milwaukee was such a great story in terms of how deep they went. But I'm thrilled with the matchup that we have.
Rob, how do you feel about the direction of the game in terms of the way analytics have taken over some of these things? I've heard you talk about shifts. I feel like, you know, you would like to see some of those shifts eliminated from the game. You know, the matchup dependency of a lot of these things, that's also that ties into pace of play because, you know, it grinds a lot of these games to a halt. But if you had your druthers, would you try and look at an illegal defense kind of thing in baseball and try and get rid of some of these shifts?
Look, I think that the shifts have increased exponentially in the game. They have changed the game, and I think they've become persistent enough that, again, when we look at what's going on out there during the off season, it's something that has to be on our agenda because I do believe that it's changed the game in ways that are not necessarily positive.
So that sort of relates to, again, I think this trend towards the three true outcomes, they call it, right? You know, walk, strikeout, home run, the three true outcomes, which is all the analytics guys. That's what they want because those are, you know, they're independent of any variables, walk, strikeout, or home run. And do you worry that that's what the game has become, those three outcomes?
Well, look, I it's interesting. We have a game that has changed organically over time. I think you make a great point by raising the analytics because I think analytics have picked up the pace of change, right? We've seen a dramatic change in the game in the last few years because of analytics and technology. It's kind of interesting, though. There's some buzz around the game about your Red Sox and the Astros. One thing about both of those teams, particularly with two strikes, they are very adept at putting the ball in play. They change their approach at the plate. They put the ball in play. They're not quite as all or nothing as some teams. And when you see the kind of success that teams like the Red Sox and the Astros have had, the history in baseball has been that other teams will emulate that and, you know, address this issue of not having the ball in play frequently enough.
So, Rob, I have one more question for you, and this might be a stupid question. It won't be the first or the last one I've asked. But Bill Belichick did the narration for the intro to the World Series last night on Fox.
Right.
Did you know that was going to happen? Did you have any hand? How did that come to be is my question.
Oh, we knew about it, and actually we thought it was a great idea. I think the idea actually started with Fox. There was conversation with our people, and we embraced the idea. We think fans like to see athletes from other sports interested in baseball. We think it's good in terms of the marketing of our game. You know, we had a huge buzz a couple of years ago when LeBron James brought the champion Cavaliers to the Cleveland-Chicago World Series. We think it's a great idea.
Did you hear any complaints from the L.A. side? Any L.A. fans say, where? How come you got a Boston guy doing the narration?
Well, stay tuned. I think you may see an L.A.-based narration over the weekend, okay?
Okay. Hey, Rob, right. Thank you so much for taking the time. We really do appreciate it. Thanks for
listen, you guys are great. I enjoyed the back and forth, and it was great talking to you, okay?
Awesome. Okay, thanks, Rob. Right, we appreciate it. Okay, there you go. Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred. There you go.
Never bad to do during the World Series.
No, there you go. You talk to people every once in a while. Didn't take long for him to hate me.
Oh, he'll come around.
But I'll stand by it.
You're an acquired taste.
I'll stand by it. You talk. Try talking real baseball in May. About the wins and losses in May, you get 5 minutes out of it.
Look, the games are too long.
Open up the phones to the pace of play, and you do shows. You can do weeks on it. We could do 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, on pace of play and length of games anytime we wanted. We just don't. But you could. You could do it anytime you wanted. I stand by that. Final word comes your way next.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this 4-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. It's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody, Murray.
Nobody. Well, Mike, as you know, you're typically mad at the phone quality of most of the callers.
Oh, this is great.
And today, there was a caller that decided to flip the script.
Yes, turns the tables a little bit.
Love this.
Real quick, Dave and Wellesley. Go ahead, Dave.
Mike, how's my phone?
It's okay.
Your phone sucks. You guys have so much effing background noise. I don't understand why you guys, management, whoever makes the decision to have a stupid radio show at a stupid bar when you guys just built this brand new facility. You guys, you're on effing radio and I hear people bowling and laughing and farting. And Mike, your phone sucks and I'm negative and I'm driving to go pick up my wife who I hate and I hate you guys and I'm so negative.
Awesome. I'm not going to disagree with you on the location, but Lucky Strike, a tremendous facility. Tremendous facility.
I think some guy behind us just picked up the 7-10.
That was crazy.
No, tremendous.
Do you think the guy's wife was listening? Yeah.
We
got a call from her tomorrow saying, yeah, well, I hate him.
Well, this being a remote, again, at lovely Lucky Strike here, we are apt to have problems sometimes. And so there was an issue with the phones earlier, and apparently Billy has sound of what that was like on his end.
Oh.
Good. I thought it was really well done, and I was glad that it was upbeat. I was expecting...
Hello, hello? We lost you guys. Hello? Hello, hello? You guys there?
But we can't hear you. Hello?
All right, welcome back to our Town Fair Tire Studios in Dorchester, 617-779-0985. We're going to try and reconnect with Mike Felger and Tony Maserati down at Lucky Strike as Billy Lanny is behind the board today. Matt McCarthy going to fill in here for a few minutes. Again, 617-779-0985. Heck of a win for the Red Sox last night. Let's go to Mark in Webster. What's going on, Mark?
Who's this?
It's Matt McCarthy filling in while we reconnect with Felger and Maz. What are your thoughts, Mark?
My thoughts are... I couldn't Bill Russell have done the open last night.
I mean, Bill Russell would have been good. I mean, you think Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, a lot of good options. Plenty of good options. could have gone with Bird Magic. We're spoiled in this town. I think we've got Felgren Maz back.
Less risk than he did leading up to this one. Now, if you want to tell me that later in the season.
So that's really, so we lost the whole kit and caboodle.
Apparently, yes, yeah. Of course, a lot of people would say that's a good thing. Starting with Matt McCarthy. Quite a win for the Red Sox last night.
All right, so that happens from time to time.